Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, my fellow baby boomers, welcome to another episode of Another Day Above Ground, the show that was made for you where we talk about stuff that old people like us are interested in. And we really thank you for joining us. I can't do this show by myself, obviously. I need my partners who are also baby boomers. First, from the great state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, and it seems that Nancy Pelosi is going to deliver the impeachment papers next week, which will be the biggest surprise since Elton John admitted he was gay.
And from the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado, the female side who tries to keep Tim and I in line, please welcome Carolyn Strauss.
Hey, everybody, and it is winter. It is sweater weather and soft, cushy sweaters. I'm noticing that everybody, even the men, are wearing softer clothing this year. So maybe we're becoming a softer, gentler group of people.
Yeah, some of us aren't doing that by choice, but, you know, it goes with the aging.
I'm pretty soft without you. I'm pretty soft without the sweater.
Anyhow, we've got a great special guest today, but before we get to him, I want to talk about the story of the week, and that is, of course, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle telling the Queen to piss off. We're out of here. And they're quitting the royal family. I don't know why anybody would do this, but they're opting out, or trying to, of the royal family, which is like trying to quit the mafia, apparently.
Exactly. I'm not up on my royals. Is Harry third in line? Is that?
Oh, heavens no. Oh, okay. No. Charles is first, and then his son, William, I believe.
Okay.
He's next, and then his kids. He's got three kids. They're all in line before Harry.
Right. No, Harry's William's brother, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
But William's three kids are in line before Harry.
Huh.
So he's like sixth in a row. He'd have to, you know, have a real big accident happen.
But here's the question. How many people are pissed when their kids move away from home? That's really the conversation we're having right now, is these kids want to spread their wings and leave home, and the parents and the grandparents are annoyed.
Well, apparently Andrew didn't want to leave home. He got booted after.
The Queen, you know, she's all upset, and she's like blaming Meghan Markle for saying, you know, she's the one that wants out. They're calling her, in some sources, the Yoko Ono for busting up the band, you know.
Well, apparently the life of a princess isn't quite like it's depicted in the Disney cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, you know, you got these photographers crawling around your lawn all day and all night and getting in your nose. And they just said, hey, and they want to spend their time between London and North America, probably Canada, and they want to build their own fortune.
Huh.
What are you going to do? You know, you going into pyramid sales? What are you going to do? Well, life insurance?
What's he worth? What's he worth? Like $5 billion?
Well, that's what they're negotiating now with the Queen and the rest of the siblings and stuff is, you know, what's it going to take to pay him off? Apparently, Meghan Markle has her own $2 million stash. And so, I don't know why they are so concerned about making a living.
Well, that's the quickest way to become a millionaire is to start with a billion and open your own business.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what our president did. But she made plenty of money when she was a regular on the show Suits. She's an actress. She was on the Open My Case for a Number, Deal or No Deal. Right. Yeah. She was on that show. I mean, she's an actress. She's lovely.
She's going to be don't worry, Harry. I can support you until you get back on your feet. Oh, that's fine. And how big will our staff be? Oh, geez.
As I mentioned in the Friday Funnies, I think all he's got to do is wear that full uniform, and he is the ideal casino greeter. Absolutely. You could put him in a casino in London, in Canada, here, anywhere. He'd be perfect.
Now, I am of two minds of this, right? Though, I mean, look, if you marry into the royal family and they give you a briefing on what it's going to be, before you marry in, there should be a check yes or no box that you're on board with this stuff.
Yeah. You have chosen to install Royal Family 1.7.
Right.
Please
I'm
click.
I'm sorry. This program cannot be uninstalled from this life.
click accept before we go any further.
And if password. You leave, may you burn like this holy card in your hands.
Boy, can you imagine him? Can you imagine him at the unemployment center? It's what are your skills there,
Prince.
Harry? Do you have anything issuing proclamations? I'm rather good at that.
That was the Duke of Sussex, for crying out loud. You got to have something here. Something dukish, you know?
Oh, the Duke of Sussex. So you were in the adult film industry. No, Sussex. I'm sorry, your hand ran.
Oh, no, you're thinking of Carmella. I think they should open a theme park in Canada called Royal World. You know, you can pet the corgis. It could be a little petting zoo, you know. And you could, three baseballs, you try and knock the hat off of the beef eater guard.
Or they could open a school and how to do the royal smile and how to pose for the royal picture and how to walk around with a crown on your head without it falling. I mean, those are very valuable skills.
I was going to say, who would attend that school?
I know a whole lot of little princesses. Are you kidding?
I'm still stuck on petting the corgis. That sounds like something you do at the palace in Reno.
Or he could go on the speaking circuit, because I'm sure he'd start out at about $500,000 a piece. So whatever. God bless him, and I wish them the best of yuck. Best of luck. But speaking of the best of yuck, that brings us to our special guest for today. What we wanted to do is we wanted to find out, you know, basically what lies ahead in the future. And we were looking for somebody who's got opinions on just about everything. So what we got is a guy who has, I believe, 6 New York Times bestseller books. He is a regular commentator on Fox News, used to have his own TV show. He's a member of the Professional Speaker Hall of Fame and a personal friend of mine, Larry Winget, joining us from Scottsdale, Arizona. How you doing today, Larry?
Always good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. And to do this show, for those of you listening in, I can't do it just me and Larry. We're going to do it with Tim and Carolyn also, and they're on here. Do you guys have any questions? Larry, I have a question right off the bat.
That is,
Tim and I, our backgrounds are in comedy, and pretty much political correctness has killed comedy. I mean, you know, especially in colleges, a lot of comics aren't playing colleges because you have to be politically correct. And I know you have some thoughts on political correctness.
You know, the best thing I've seen about political correctness was an article by Peggy Noonan just a couple of days after the New Year's. Did you see it?
But I know Peggy Noonan. Yeah.
Well, she wrote this great article about how Warren Zevon and, you know, his famous line about enjoy every sandwich. But she ended the whole thing that said the past decade, I'm going to read it to you. The past decade saw a rise to the woke progressive who dictates the words that can be said and the ideas that can be held, poisoning and paralyzing American humor, drama, entertainment, culture, and journalism. Absolutely right. The most castrating thing that ever happened to our society is political correctness.
Thank God for Ricky Gervais.
Even people who don't like Ricky Gervais go, he's my new hero.
Exactly. And well, how do we fight back against the political correctness? I mean, you know.
Here's the problem. They can call you names and they can do whatever they want to and call you another great line from the Ms. Noonan thing was she was going through, you're a racist, a homophobe, a transphobic, a bigot, a villain, and a white male. There you go.
White straight male.
All you got to do is be a white male these days and you're the same as a racist and a homophobe and all that other stuff. And I think there's nothing we can do. If you defend yourself, you're just guiltier in their eyes.
So I think it's our job to defend you. I think that's what's actually happening. I think women have to get on board to the fact that you guys are incredibly valuable. You bring incredible insight and wisdom and strength and power, and your having power does not take power away from us. There's supposed to be a balance here. So I think if more women step up and defend, not defend you guys don't need defending, but stand up for you. You know, we're so busy, you know, pounding our chests about, you know, standing up for us. We've forgotten about you guys who helped make life so good for us.
Yeah, but the problem is most women don't even think that.
Tim, you go first and then Larry, you go.
Yeah. Yeah, most women don't even think the Three Stooges are funny. So how do you get up past that barrier?
That's a lack of education from their parents. Because they are funny.
You know, I really do believe men in general are in trouble. And I'm glad you said that about standing up for us. We obviously aren't allowed to stand up for ourselves because that makes it worse. So when other people come to our rescue, not that we need to be rescued, but when they do, I think that helps. When you look at the stats about men, I really feel sorry for guys. I do a podcast called The Real Man Podcast. And the thing about men, we have three times the suicide rate women do. Three times more men kill themselves than women. It's not easy to be a white male, straight male in America today.
That might indicate that women are the carrier.
And where did it all go wrong? How did we lose control? What happened? You know, it used to be where the man of the family was the man of the family, and now he's just the baby daddy. You know,
it's around the time that America's Home Video, Funniest Home Videos debuted, it was right about the time that that America realized that there's nothing funnier than a man getting hit in the crotch.
Well, that can be funny, but that's not what I'm saying. Depends on the man.
But I mean, about that time, everything kind of changed. You guys are right. It's around that time. All the commercials were the stupid dad being informed by the kids, and all the, you know, the sitcoms was the stupid husband being set straight by a nanny called Fran.
So we're in this rut, and you know, Larry, you brought up a good point to me the other day. Is that, you know, we're not relevant anymore. You know, we're pale, male, and stales, and nobody wants to listen to us anymore.
Yeah, we used to in our industry, Dale. We used to see associations and people, corporate audiences, who would hire us because we were smart, and our content was good, and somehow our brains left us instantly upon turning 60 years old, and we no longer are considered smart and relevant, and we don't matter any longer. And you know, the new phrase, okay, boomer,
we did a whole episode on that, Larry.
And you know how boomer I am, that should be spelled okay, comma, boomer. You never see it that way.
You know, but that might have something to do with the assumption of where, as men, our brains are considered to be. Because once that stopped work, the place where the brains were stored stopped working, the brains followed.
Yeah, you gotta speak for yourself on that, Dip. My brain works, just not as often.
And they make little blue pills for your brains, and they don't do that for us. So.
Yes, they do, as a matter of fact. They now have Viagra for women.
What are those? If a woman needs Viagra, she's hanging out with the wrong man. That's all I'm saying.
Why, no, honey. These are my smart pills.
But no, I think this is a tragedy, what's happening. You know, I've been teaching the differences between men and women and speaking on that for years and years, and it used to be a partnership. And what happened was, when women, this whole feminist movement happened in the 70s and the 80s, and women were, you know, demanding equal pay, which I think we should get equal pay for equal work. That's like a no-brainer. But for us to have it instead of you, it should not be an either or. But women went out, and now we're totally independent. I mean, I live by myself. I pay all of my own bills. Nobody supports me. And so the whole thing comes down to, okay, so what do we need you for? And that's kind of where society has gone. Like, what do we need you for? I have a whole list of what I need you guys for, but most women aren't thinking that anymore. And there's no role models really in the marketplace talking about how amazing men are, especially men with all the wisdom that you guys have gleaned over these years.
I think the whole thing fell apart when women started wearing suits and ties. No, seriously.
And men started wearing Speedos.
Many, many years ago, when I was at AT&T, do you remember corporate women started wearing suits and ties?
Yes.
That's right.
And they stopped wearing dresses, and women tried to become men instead of us. Women need to honor their femininity, and men need to embrace their masculinity, and I don't have to give up mine for you to have yours.
I think Dave Barry said it best, though, is that women started wearing suits, but they would wear them with, like, bow ties, so we knew they weren't really serious.
No, actually, but women had to go into the workplace. If you think about, go back to that, Larry, back in the 70s and 80s, women had to wear suits because there were no role models for female leadership in business. It didn't exist. So the only role models we had were the men who were successful in business. So the women had to go and be that. But the balance of femininity and masculinity, you're absolutely right. Women should be feminine. And there's real power in femininity if we respect the power of the masculine as well.
But now masculinity is called toxic. We have toxic masculinity. We don't ever talk about toxic femininity. You know, I just recently did a story on Fox News where they wanted me to talk about toxic masculinity. And I said, let's just talk about toxicity, because that's really the problem, is toxicity. And we're expecting people to apologize for their race, their gender, and their age. Those are the three things we didn't have a choice at one point. Now we do get to choose gender, but didn't used to. But I just am at the point, I just refuse to apologize for those three things. I am old, white, and male. That's the way it is. And I can't do anything about it, so I don't apologize for it.
In this culture, for some reason, we don't honor the old people. Like in China, they respect the elders. And, you know, in a lot of different cultures, they respect the elders. But over here, we just view them as a drain on society by sucking all the money out of Social Security. And, you know, and that's
the ones who paid into it.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, look what we just saw. We just saw a 16-year-old girl walking around the country telling us all how we should live.
Yeah, and getting a Nobel Peace Prize for it. So, you know, you got that happening. Time Man of the Year, Time Person of the Year, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, what, you know, I want to know why we don't honor elders. I mean, you know, we have speaker friends, Larry, who are now working in China because they respect old white guys for some reason, you know, because they like the wisdom of the elders.
I talked to Tommy Hopkins the other day, and he's incredibly busy. He lives here in Scottsdale, too, and he's incredibly busy in China. He and Dennis Whiteley, who's got to be a million years old now. Those guys are busy over there.
Wow.
I actually heard that it's a popular gig in China for old white guys to go and for actors to go and pose as CEOs. Because a Chinese company with a white, old white CEO has more respect than one run by a young Chinese person. So they actually will hire old white guys to pose as the CEO. Yeah, it sounded like a perfect gig for a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, I was going to say perfect sitcom episode. Exactly. So what do you think we have to look forward to, Larry, as old guys? I mean, where's it going from now? Do we just sit around, wait to die, or what's the, what do you think?
You know, I think the worst thing we can do is try to stay relevant.
What? Okay, explain.
You know, I've got buddies, and I won't bring up all their names, but they talk about what they're most afraid of is losing their relevance. The problem is, relevance has become equated to compromise. Look at Joe Biden, who has decided to be relevant to millennial voters. And he compromised everything he stood for 30 years ago. And so we compromise our values and our beliefs and the basis of who we really are simply to appeal to an audience we don't need to be bothering with. They're never going to be our audience, no matter how much we try to be relevant and compromise to appeal to them. They're not going to be our audience. So just stop. You know, I realize at this point in my career, I'm appealing to tire guys and blue collar guys. They're still run by old white guys, those kind of associations. I know who my audience is. I'm not the right guy for everybody. And it just looks desperate. You look like one of those guys who ends up with maroon hair.
Well, actually, there's sometimes it's almost embarrassing. I mean, there's no way you can talk like a young person, and you shouldn't even try. Elizabeth Warren just did something. I forget exactly what the situation or the question, but she said, "If I were you, I would dump that guy who ghosted you." Trying to sound really hip and relevant. Of course, if you know what ghosting is, it's impossible to dump the guy who ghosted you already dumped you, and you don't know where to find him. So, I mean, but here she is trying to sound hip by saying, "Hey, that dude that ghosted you, you should give him an LOL, man.
If you ever find him, you should dump him."
I don't worry about becoming irrelevant. I worry about becoming incontinent. That's a much bigger worry for me. You're irrelevant. You're not wearing diapers. That's all I got to say. But it said, I was reading a story here that one in five adults in their 60s said they've not given any advice to anybody in the last year. Nobody wants to hear from them.
They're just not hanging out in the right places with the right people. I think one of the things that us boomers need to do is get out and find something we're interested in, hang out with the people who are there. I have friends in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, 80s, I mean, 60s, sure. I mean, but I find them really interesting. And the more interested you are, the more interesting you become. And then they want to talk to you. But I mean, Larry, you hang out in circles with people, you know, tons of people, you know, maybe a little more conservative than I tend to hang out in, but they're all different ages and they want to hear from you because you're interested in them.
I've never let someone being interested in my opinion stop me from giving it.
Yeah, but I think we isolate ourselves also with people of our own age. I can tell you, we know a lot of what we think because we all grew up thinking the same thing. When I hang out with I hung out with a 32-year-old woman who's like really changing the world with her work. I mean, you know, in little ways. She's 32 years old. She could be my kid. God, she's interesting. And I had a coaching session with her yesterday where I think I learned more than she did. It was amazing.
So you're saying to hang out with younger people. What if the judge told you not to do that?
Stay away from the schools, Dale.
How are you going to learn?
Sell your white pants.
Get a van with windows. They're much safer.
You know, I think one of the things that we got to stop doing as boomers is making fun of millennials. You know, and I get trashed. I get called a lot to appear and do stories about millennials. But what I'm always quick to point out is that 34% of millennials live with their parents, which means 66% live on their own and do pretty good. It's a small percentage that gives everybody a bad name. And it's a small percentage of boomers who, listen, boomers got nothing to brag about either when it comes to some of the stuff we make fun of millennials. Millennials save more money than boomers. Remember, 68% of boomers still support their kids financially. That's their own fault. They need to take a good hard look at themselves before they start making fun of another generation. I think that's why they get tired of us. That's why they're saying, okay, boomer. It's because all we do is trash millennials.
You hear that, gang?
Because they're
No more making fun of millennials. That means we're going to be a 10-minute show from here on out.
I was going to say, it's been a nice podcast. Thanks for playing, you guys. It was a nice run. We had fun. Thanks, Larry.
You just got to be more articulate about the percentages you're talking about. Some of them deserve all the crap we put on them. But there's a whole bunch of them, just like you pointed out, the 32-year-old friend of yours who's doing great work. Well, let's give them credit for that.
I just read an interesting article about Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, running for president, is that the hope was that his youth would appeal to millennials. But apparently millennials are not supporting him at all. They think he's a dork. And they're far more likely to support Warren or Sanders, which I think is really interesting because millennials, when we were growing up, we were told not to trust anyone over 30. And now it seems millennials only trust people over 30. It's like, no, we don't want a millennial president. Are you kidding me? We don't want one of us running the country. We want the old people.
They know who they are. They don't want us. They don't want to be in charge.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But, yeah. You know, when we were that age, I don't know where we... I guess we're as politically active as they are today, but it seems what I'm seeing is all these protests. It's the same as it was in the 70s. Bunch of kids who really didn't have much else to do, and they're out on the street protesting whatever happens to be good. I can't believe that people are protesting, killing Soleimani or whatever his name was.
Yeah, 1% of the people marching are there because they actually have a cause they're getting behind. The other 99 are looking for a hookup.
And now we let them out of school. We give them an excuse day off from school to go protest. I want them to test out. What's the protest about? What is your belief? How are you going to contribute? What did you learn after the protest? You got to do a book report. Make it a protest.
That is a great idea.
And people are shocked. Can you believe the millions of kids that walked out of school that day? Yes, because you told millions of kids that they would be praised if they walked out of school. It's like, oh, really? I'm going to get congratulated for skipping?
But here's the problem now that these people are doing these protests, and they're not... It's not making any difference. It's not moving the needle. When the Vietnam War was protested, I was a little too young to protest the Vietnam War, but you guys may remember some of those protests.
I was too young to remember the Vietnam War.
I remember hearing about them.
My memory left when I turned 60. I don't know.
Those actually made a difference. These aren't mattering.
Let me look it up on the Google machine.
The Google machine.
I can't get the scent of tear gas out of my nose to this day. So.
Yeah, things like Woodstock, we still talk about it because it mattered to us. These protests, they're here one day, they're gone the next. There's no way, really. I'm finding it so hard with this social media thing. I'd love your take on this, Larry, with the noise that's in social media and the untruths versus the truths that are happening. How can anybody be heard?
Well, I'm so tired of the meanness of social media, the meanness. I had 40,000 followers on Twitter, and I just said, I can't take it. I just left Twitter. And now I'm leaving LinkedIn, and Hell, I got two death threats last week. Seriously, two death threats last week over just having an appearance on Fox News talking about almost nothing.
And on LinkedIn?
No, these are direct emails to me.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Usually your death threats come...
That's a better offer than I ever got on LinkedIn.
So usually your death threats come from your wife. So this is unusual. You know.
We've just become mean, and social media is the easiest way to be mean these days.
Because it's anonymous. Because people aren't seeing you. It's not brave to say that somebody's horrible behind their back, but go ahead and say it to their face. I mean, that's the challenge that we're having, is that people, and you know, everybody has an opinion. And like they say about opinions, everybody has one. And, you know, who do we listen to? And I think it's you guys who have the wisdom, back to, you know, circling back. It's you guys who've been on the planet for 60 years and have been through so much and can share the wisdom. But how do we get heard?
Well, as my father used to say, do as I say, not as I do. So,
yeah. My dad said the same thing.
You know, the problem for old guys like us is that we just get tired of beating our head against the wall and we go, ah, to heck with it, give up.
Yeah.
And we just check out like I did on Twitter. I'm not fighting with anybody anymore. I'm just tapping out. And that's the downside for guys who still have a lot to contribute. At some point, we just go, I'm tapping out. I'm going to leave it to you guys. And all we do is show up and vote. They don't. They just protest and complain. We actually show up and vote because that's about all we can do anymore. Otherwise, we really are irrelevant to them.
Well, you know, before you leave Twitter, one favor to ask: if you could plug this podcast, Another Day Above Ground, because we could certainly, you know, we're close to double-digit listenership now, and we're looking to go over the edge. So
our listener needs some company.
I can get you one more. I know I can.
Okay.
All right. Anyhow, Larry Wingate, thank you so very much for joining us and for sharing your thoughts amongst baby boomers. We hope that we can touch base with you again in the future when other big news comes up that you are always have a thought about. Anyway, would you like people to get in touch with you, or would you just like them to forget about it?
You know, if they'll just spend money with me, I'll be happy. So
there
just
go
out and buy anything that says Larry Wingate on it.
it's about one third of the books in the bookstore. So you had a pretty good choice.
Just funding my bourbon habit. That's all I'm looking for.
And a couple real nice engraved watches, too, I might add.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been fun.
Thank you very much. Larry Wingate, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Larry.
Well, that wraps it up for another week at Another Day Above Ground. Please visit our website, anotherdayaboveground.com. And then when you go there, you can leave us a comment, leave us a message. Let us know what you, as a baby boomer, would like to talk about. Other than that, Tim, do you have any final words for the folks?
Hey, just check out my website, timslegel.com, on information on tours. And my other podcast, Rule of Three, with Bent Washburn and Tim Slegel.
Carolyn, how about you?
You can find more about me at carolynstrauss.com. You can find our YouTube page. We actually have a YouTube channel, Another Day Above Ground on YouTube. And Dale, I had one little thing for you. So I think Ollie, Megan, and Harry's child is Archie is about the same age as your granddaughter. You may want to find out where they're living, because that would not be bad for her in about 22 years.
Yeah, I want her to marry a guy named Archie. And for more laughs, go to DaleIrvin.com, where you can watch the Friday Funnies, and you can subscribe absolutely free and have them delivered to your email. Other than that, we will see all of you next week. Thanks for listening.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.